Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
Continue with the teaching series, Resting in Jesus' Life, and today I'll be discussing the third topic of the first section of the study. What kind of life is a Christian called to live? And before addressing this question, I'll do a short recap of the first two topics. The first topic was, how do you become a Christian? And simply, we accept Jesus into our life, who is fully God and fully man, and accept His free gift of forgiveness of our sins by His death and resurrection from the dead. By believing and receiving this free gift, we become His child, and He comes to live in us. The second topic was, now that we are a Christian, who are we? We become part of God's team. We have a new identity. We are changed from a sinner to a saint. And yet, as we all know, we still have the ability to sin. Also, I discussed a number of the great blessings that we have in Jesus. And Colossians 1:27 sums it all up. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the God of all creation, lives in every Christian. Well, that brings us back to our original question for today's topic. What kind of life is a Christian called to live? And if you think about it, since God lives in us, you might expect there would be a high calling for us. In fact, the Bible in Philippians 2:13 states it quite clearly, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." Continuing with our baseball analogy, our heavenly coaches, the God family, as I like to call them, the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, want us to learn to hit like Jesus. They want us to learn to be Christ-like. They want to come alongside of us and put their arms around us to swing their bat with us. They want the job done of living a godly, loving life and doing good, but in a new way. By practicing resting in Jesus' life, we're to learn to continually draw off His power and resources. It's not like we ever have a stock of godliness in ourselves, but constantly need to draw fresh resources from God to produce a life of love. In John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, to love one another. And as I loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, helps define what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. In the same chapter, it says, "If I have all spiritual gifts, give all my money to the poor, offer my body to be martyred by being burned at the stake, but if I don't do it out of love, it profits nothing." 1 Peter 1:15, God tells us to be holy, for I'm holy, says the Lord, referring to our earthly behavior. And then finally in Ephesians 5:1-4, it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Well, you might be thinking, you got to be kidding me. I'm supposed to learn to live like that? And instinctively, most of us realize that this is an out-of-this-world lifestyle. You may be feeling, there's just no way this is going to happen in my everyday life on a consistent basis, and of course, unless I'm sleeping. Fortunately, this lifestyle of love described in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape love, which simply means it's God's love. So this love is not going to be produced with our own strength. The power source is God. The world we live in, as we all know, is largely ungodly and unloving, and we find ourselves in great need in our daily lives for power and strength beyond ourselves to cope with relationships and family, business, church, and the struggles of life. The task of living a godly life of love is impossible in our own power. So how's the job going to get done? Well, God wants us to cooperate with them to allow their life to flow through us. As a Christian, our true identity is truly a saint, not a sinner, and yet we still have the ability to sin. This part of us, which is no longer our true identity, is called by a number of names in Scripture, including the flesh, indwelling sin, old sinful nature, to name a few. It has the characteristics that are the exact opposite of agape love. Our flesh is impatient, unkind, envious, boastful, proud, rude, self-seeking, easily angered, holds grudges, likes to do evil. Jesus' assessment of the flesh in John 6:63, he says, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. All the flesh is good for is sinning." As a Christian, it's part of us until the day we die, but it's no longer our true identity anymore. And this is very important to understand, or it can drive us crazy like it almost did me. The only solution the Scripture offers to control this bent towards wrongdoing and produce a life of love is to practice living by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is resting in Jesus' life. Agape love is also described as the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. Notice whose fruit? It's God's fruit. Listen to the translation from the original Greek by Dr. David Ekman of Galatians 5:16. "And I am saying, by the qualities from the Spirit, continually be walking," and in parentheses it says, "ordering your life, and a lust of the flesh, you will never complete." The only solution for overcoming temptation of sin and producing God's love is the power of God working through us as we appropriate God's Bible promises. Going back to our baseball analogy, our coaches do not want us swinging the bat by ourselves to attempt to produce a life of love and godly living. The Bible calls this walking by the law. It means we're attempting to produce God's life in our own strength. And this can lead to either self-righteousness or self-depreciation. We can often alternate between both attitudes. The focus in both situations is yourself. You look around and you say, "Hey, I'm not so bad. At least I'm hitting 300 when it comes to living a godly life. And hey, that's a lot better than most of the folks on the team. And I'm not involved in any terrible sin. I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm giving of my time and money. I'm involved in church and Bible studies. Hey, I must be okay. Hey, what can God expect from imperfect humans?" Or you may realize that you bat zero when it comes to love, godliness, and your fervor for the spiritual life, so you conclude you're a total failure and a worthless Christian. Or you might, as a Christian, get so disgusted that you give up trying and going back, and you go back to playing on the other team because you don't see a solution, and you dive headlong into a sinful lifestyle. You know, neither of these alternatives are correct. Our heavenly coaches want to swing their bat with us to get us to see apart from them we can do nothing to produce the life of love and godliness they're looking for. And yet it's a lifelong process of practicing hitting with Jesus, knowing that we are securely on God's team forever, even if we're not hitting very well at the plate in everyday life. It takes a lifetime to develop our timing with Jesus at home plate, but at least we are beginning to practice the right thing of resting in Jesus' life. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Prepare your minds for action." When we're up at the plate of life, we're to set our minds to live a life of love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Follow the way of love." We're to set our minds to make it our ambition to live a life of love, but knowing only by practicing drawing from God's power can it possibly begin to happen. 1 Peter 2:11 through 12 states, "I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against our soul. Live such good lives among the pagans," and that's a name given for non-believers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. We see our daily lives can count as we allow Jesus to express his life through ours, both in character and doing good. And yet this verse reminds us that we are in a daily spiritual battle as we practice resting in Jesus' life. God wants us to progress in Christ-like character and do good. From this life of dependence, God will lead us into special acts of love to carry out on his behalf. 1 Thessalonians 4:19 reminds us that it is God who teaches us how to love, and growing in love is a process. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us to always abound in the work of the Lord. But how do we do these good works, and what are they? Well, I think it's important to realize that practicing walking in love and godliness on a daily basis by God's power is doing good. And I think we always have to go back to the obvious. Whose works are these? They're God's works. And since God is head of the church and the body of Christ, he will direct us into the unique work of the body he's designed us for us to do. Ephesians 2:10 indicates that God has an individual plan for our lives. God has created good works beforehand that we might walk in them. And as stated previously, Philippians 2:13 says the goal is God working through us to accomplish his good will and pleasure. Jesus was asked the question, what must we do to do the works God requires? And he responded, the work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he sent. And Jesus, of course, was referring to himself as the one sent. Jesus was saying, a lifestyle of faith, that is, depending, believing, trusting in him, would result in doing God's works. Philippians 1:17 picks up the same theme of the just. That means we, the Christians, will live from faith to faith. You enter into the Christian life by faith, and once you are a Christian, we continue with the same attitude of childlike trust, depending on God to lead us, direct us, and work through us. In John 5:17 and John 14:10, Jesus indicates that the Father lived in him and was doing his work in Jesus, and yet Jesus was also working. And in 1 Corinthians 5:10, the Apostle Paul talks about cooperating with the grace of God. He said, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Also, this idea of walking by faith, depending on God's grace, is also expressed as being led by the Holy Spirit, which is likened to a blind person being led willingly by God. It's a partnership of cooperation, learning to develop our timing with God. It is all based on a lifestyle of dependence, resting in Jesus' life. I think it's important to realize that Jesus knows how to deal with the mundane and routine of life. He lived in obscurity for 30 years as a carpenter and then had 3 years of powerful ministry. For most of us, our life is filled with the mundane and routine. We have constant daily need to draw off of God's love, wisdom, and godly character to deal with the problems and frustrations of our lives. And these difficulties, as we all know, come in all shapes and sizes. God is interested in the total spectrum of our life, from helping us finding parking places on busy days, giving power to overcome wrong thinking, forgiveness of sins, supplying love and kindness when we don't have any, wisdom, strength, and faith to deal with life struggles, and concern for souls of others, just to name a few. Grace living is learning to live by the life of another, namely God who lives within us. The Bible says Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we can call on him as we have need. Our life of dependence is developed as we see God's ability to produce the life that only they can. It's important to realize that God knows our detailed situations. God knows our time, our talents, our abilities, our gifts, our resources, our passions and desires. And therefore, as I discussed, their plan will be unique for each one of us. God wants us to be all that they have designed us for. We usually become depressed when we start comparing our life and ministries with others. And God wants us to learn from other teammates but to follow God's unique plan for our lives. Foremost, God wants to understand they're interested in us more than what we can do for them. They want us to understand their love and acceptance because we're part of the family. And yet God is still interested in our progression of godly character, our motives for doing good, as well as the good we do. For our benefit and the benefit of others, they want to work through us to build up the body of Christ. Our good works are a byproduct of our life of dependence as we learn to be led by God. And this can happen in a myriad of different ways as we go about our everyday life. There's a lot of trial and error as we learn to hear God's voice more clearly. We're all wired differently with different personalities, giftings, and abilities. The result of God's leading will be different for each one of us. And remember, you know, God wants to reach the entire world with the gospel in every strata of society. Therefore, each of us are strategically placed by God to impact a group of people around us. Our life cannot just be driven arbitrarily by good works, but by God's unique direction for each one of us. There are always many more good works than you or I have time for. Timing is everything. We can easily do a good work at the wrong time. God can lead us to do the right thing at the right time. And doing good can range from resting in God for a progression of loving character in the struggles of life, as well as a variety of good deeds led by God. Our life is to be a ministry. Prayer can be a powerful ministry. We can impact others and ourselves. The love of Christ can be shared to a needy world in many different ways as we follow God's special leading. It could be a phone call, a note, a meal, a listening ear, giving to ministries. Part of your life's ministry may be expressed helping at a local church. Also, God's leading may result in unique ways and unique formal ministries to spread the good news. And whether we're a lay person or in formal ministry, whether we're a non-charismatic, charismatic, semi-charismatic, we're all buffeted by life's difficulties and need to practice drawing on God's life daily. And these hard places are the situation which God uses to drive us to this life of dependence for character development and fulfilling God's good work through us. Resting in Jesus' life is about our life being a ministry. Our work is a work of faith which releases the power of God to work in our lives. So examining our high calling of becoming Christ-like and doing God's works leads us to see that grace living, that is resting in Jesus' life, is not optional but foundational. And next time we'll begin with the second section of our study, which deals with the opposition we face as Christians. And I'll discuss the topic of our bent toward wrongdoing that we all experience as Christians. And I hope you'll join me for the next program.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. That's Bob, the number 4, gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.